going to abuse you less. It makes
Blog Talk Radio.
That's what ends up happening. They don't want to abuse you less when you allow that to occur. They actually want to start abusing you more. That's where it usually ends up going. Your job is to make sure that you understand and make it clear to them that you're going to be respected. You see, your tolerance for lacking or sacrificing respect, you're supposed to see that for what it is. You're not supposed to look at that and say, okay, well, I'll go ahead and accept that. That's not the way you're supposed to do that. You're not supposed to look at disrespect. You're not supposed to look at that subservience. There is no substitute for power. You can tell yourself that you got some soft power. There is no substitute for power. As a man, there's no substitute for it. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here in just a few moments. But I wanted to do tonight's program because so often, a lot of the time, what we hear a lot of people speaking in mindless polemics.
Look it up.
Anecdotes. Hypothetical examples. And they're not really getting down to the real issue. The reason why you have so many people out here and their posers and everybody else hosting programs, you can yell at the females all day and whatnot, but at the end of the day, you're gonna eat what you kill, and you're only gonna get what you take. But you're not gonna do either of those things if you've told yourself that, well, you found some super great strategy and we're just gonna see if we can work angles. You have to learn these things, but these are things that are biological. And first comes with making the decision that you are not willing to accept a subservient life and then telling yourself that this is a slick power move. You're going to have to be honest with yourself that, no, that's not a power move, that you really do know it isn't. It really isn't. This is not going to get you power. It's going to get you proximity, but it's not going to get you power. That's not what's going to happen. But enough from me. We're going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines for you here now. So you are more than welcome to give us a call. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933, your personal access code to the program that laid the foundation upon which all of these posers, imitators, and red pill morons have been stealing everything ever since. So you are more than welcome to join us. We're holding court tonight here and doing business. So go ahead and give us a call. Go ahead and get the telephone lines open here now. Let me get caller from area code 702. You are on live with the business. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Thomas. I'm calling from Interstate 94 eastbound in North Dakota. I drive a semi, so please excuse the noise.
All right, well, no, you're sounding pretty clear over there right now. Thomas, what's on your mind?
All right, I do my best to keep my nose to the grindstone, build myself up, and get what it is that I want to get out of this life. But the females that I've had in my life, to include my mom and sister, have said that I'm selfish and narcissistic. My question to you is, what's the inverse of your first point? What does that look like to basically be the inverse of that? Like, how does somebody get to that point of not valuing others over themselves?
Okay. Let's be very, very clear about something. As men today in our society, first thing you got to ask yourself is, when you hear people say that you are narcissistic, let's be very, very clear about something. Narcissism and performance, a lot of folks misconstrue them because they don't like it. But we live in a world that runs on power. And if your job as a man, your priority, your requirement as a man is to perform. The attitude with which you do it is irrelevant. Now, when someone wants to sit here and start making the argument about your attitude and your disposition, okay, it doesn't matter how nice you are if you don't, quote, how nice you are, how, quote, nice you are, if you can't perform. So first and foremost, as males today, you have a bunch of females, might be your mom, might be your relatives, might be girlfriends, whatever. It's usually going to be females telling you that you're narcissistic. Now, here's the real issue. As far as I'm concerned, are you performing? If you are performing at a high level, if you are progressive at a high level, that's the only thing you owe people. They, if what they call narcissism as a black male in this world, do you understand how many things you have to overcome and deal with on a daily basis in order to perform? You're doing things that females do not do. No one's got any right to sit up here and tell you that you need to perform, but they want to control the aesthetics of how you do it. No, they don't. They don't get to control that. The only thing they get to insist on is that you perform. Once you perform, that is it. It is up to them to get comfortable with whatever comes along with your ability to perform. That they got to get comfortable with that. It's like when you go to a high-priced store. Not up to the store to tell you to turn the music down or turn the music up or whatever. The rules in the store are the rules of the store. It's only their job to provide. Whatever you came there for, that's their obligation, is to provide it at the price at which they said they were going to sell it. And that's it. But let me guess here. I mean, I'm not sure. Let me find a little bit more here. Does these traits they call narcissistic, what exactly are they talking about?
Basically, it seems as if I don't care about other people. Instead, I just care about myself and kind of what's going on in my own world.
Okay,
for example, I'm 35.
Okay, do you have any kids?
No, sir.
Okay, are you married?
No, sir.
Okay, so what the hell are they expecting you to, quote, do for other people then?
That's a question I probably should be asking. I guess,
the people who are saying that, here's the inverse. The people who are saying that are these people who need things.
Yes, they are. In fact, they're not high performing people, and they are, even though, like, it's my mom who says it and whatever, she's not somebody that I look up to. In fact, she's the example of what I don't want to be in this life. I say that with respect, but it is the truth.
Boomer generation. All right, boomer generation. That explains that. So like I say, they got kids, they got debt, and they have a lifetime of failures. And because they were weak and deficient, they're taking a look at you, and they're calling your performance and your confidence. In other words, all the character traits, and listen to me very, very carefully, the character that you have that they don't have, that's what they're objecting to. That's what they're offended by, is they see a personality that they could never achieve. So they're calling it arrogance, when in reality you're performing at a level that they failed at, and you are unapologetic about it. You see, what they would feel comfortable if you were performing, but then were bowing to them or submitting to them in some way. No, that would be fine. What they're trying to do is shame you into lowering your level of performance, or shaming you into serving them. And if you refuse to perform and then use the benefits of your performance to serve them, then, well, that's narcissism. So they're just trying to see if they can beta-tize you with shaming tactics. This is very, very common.
Which is exactly how she treats my father. That you're starting to connect a lot of dots that I'm just now seeing. Wow.
What does your dad do for a living?
He does IT. He did it in the Air Force. Now he does as an independent contractor. I don't know exactly what, but it's a pretty high level IT thing.
Okay. Well, how long has he been married to your mom?
He's not married anymore, but I would say they were married for about 20 years before they got divorced.
Who filed the divorce?
She did.
Why?
I'm not fully certain, but I believe she wasn't happy. I honestly don't have a concrete explanation for that, sir.
Okay. Now, I want you to think about that for a few moments. Because if your father, and if he was in the military, like I say, you usually have two types of guys in the military. You got dudes who are just rolling stones and dropping a bunch of kids and whatever. And then you got other fellows who get in because they're trying to figure out what to do with their lives. So basically, they go there like bathers when they get in. And so they grab a chick along the way, or more to the point, usually what happens is she grabs them so she can get, you know, in line with those military benefits. We heard what your father did for a living. He had a career. What's your mom's career 20 years later?
Oh, Lord. I'm working for UPS, same job that she's had for the last umpteen years since Cat was a kitten.
Okay, so your mom has a job but not a career.
That's correct, yes, sir.
All right, so just understand. So basically, Dad was a come-up for her. Like,
and no accomplishments either.
20 years later. So the real thing is, understand, in her case, she was married to him all this time. That means by divorcing him, she basically gets to keep the benefit from him being in the military. She's got that now. So, yeah, just understand what you're taking a look at there. When you're dealing with somebody who is used to getting something for nothing, or they have delusions of grandeur, and most of our females, unfortunately, today have gross delusions of grandeur, they're looking to get over however they can. There is no longer a husband present to be the masculine provider. So that leaves you. By the way, are you an only child, or are you the only son?
I'm the only son, but I'm the oldest. I have a sister.
All right, but notice I went straight to that. Notice I said, looking for a masculine provider, and then I said, now, are you the only son? Of course you are. No, I'm not guessing my way through this. Of course you're the only son. Of course you're the only male figure that she has access to. Of course you are. And what do you do for a living now at the age of 30-something?
35. I'm currently driving a semi, long hauling.
Okay, you did say you're driving an 18-wheeler. Now, how long have you been a truck driver?
This is my 9th month, sir.
Oh, okay, 9th month. What were you doing before this?
Oh, boy. I was a retail supervisor at one of the casinos in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And before that, I was in the Army.
Which is good work if you can find it, but it doesn't have a lot of future to it. It's a real problem.
You're absolutely right. Hell, I got
You want to get to something? We'll get back to that in a moment. You want to get to something different there, and that's fine because here's the real issue. Tells me is that you spend a whole lot of time, you know, watching things unfold, and eventually you got to a point where you said, you know what, it's just time to get your weight up. Time
exactly.
to get your weight up. And you said, you know what, I'm going to do what I got to do, but I'm going to get my weight up. And one day you decided to do that. And that's what you're supposed
yes,
to do. You are supposed to get to a point where you say, you know what, I'm not getting any younger. There's a lot in life I haven't had access to or whatever, and I got to get out here and get it. And it
correct.
Was in your 30s, but then again, that's exactly when I told you all that happens here. Y'all are familiar with our peak value chart that I've shown you over the years and whatnot, then you understand that, yeah, that's what happened. As you've gotten older about this, you've taken a look at it, and you said, yeah, you know what, let me go ahead and do something about that. Let me go ahead and do something about that, and let me get my weight up so that I can actually have some things. You hit your 30s, and it's what happens. You hit your 30s, and you said, you know, man, ain't nobody going to bring it to me. I got to go get
correct.
It. There's a whole bunch in life I've missed out on, and I got to go get it. So you hit your 30s, and here comes that financial stride that I've told you all about for years now. Exactly where it's supposed to be. This is exactly where it's supposed to be. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. And I want you to see that, you know, you're going to have people sit up here and try to deceive you or shame you or whatever like that. I don't want you to fall for that. Don't fall for this idea that other folk have the right to sit up here and make you feel some kind of way because you're not doing what they want you to do. That's not your obligation.
Gotcha.
Now, let me find out here. I think we got interrupted here for just a moment.
Yeah.
We got interrupted here for just a moment, but that's okay. We're going to go ahead and get restarted here. I wanted to find out a couple of things here, though. Why did you originally go in the military?
This was actually based off my mom's advice. I'm a musician. I went to college for music and everything, and she said, hey, why don't you go into the military while you're trying to figure out what it is you want to do with your life? At least you'll get a paycheck, have a place to live, and et cetera, et cetera. And I took her on that advice and went.
Hmm. All right. Does any of that sound familiar?
Yes. Just like you said earlier about the people, the two types of people that go into the military, the people who are trying to find themselves.
Right, but also... You know, when your mother was allowed to guide your path, as it were, she steered you in exactly the same direction of your father.
Hell.
Your mother literally started molding you into the shape of your father. Starting with the career path,
yeah.
Right there. She was looking for a way to make you into a better tool of servitude. Think about that for just a few moments. I want that to sink in for just a few moments. When your mother had the opportunity to advise you and to mold you as a man, she said, let me recreate his dad. And now that you have matured and... It is obvious from where you are, because like right now, you say you're driving down, you said 94? Okay.
Yes, sir, I-94.
Right. That's a long-ass freeway, too, by the way. So what that tells
me
you're not local. You're at least, you must be doing coast-to-coast. You got to be. If you're hitting 94, you
Yes, sir.
Okay. If he's doing 94, don't worry, y'all, for the my trucker people, y'all understand. If he's hitting 94, he's not local. Very unlikely he's regional. So, in other words, my real point is you turn in earnest. That's what you're doing.
Absolutely.
You turn in earnest. So, he's out here trying to get it. He's not sitting at home. He's out here on these streets. He's out here on these roads. He's trying to get it, which is what he's supposed to be doing. What that also tells me is you're trying to make more money than you made in the military. You're trying to make more money than you made in Vegas. He's trying to get it. And
correct.
She knows. Here's the real thing, and she knows it. She works at UPS, and they got a bunch of truck drivers there, too. So now she's got
correct.
More of an idea of what you're getting or what you're supposed to be getting, and she knows it's only going to get bigger and better from here. And she knows that. So with that being the case, just understand, bro, I got to call it what it is. You know, you got a lot of scandalous females out here like that in that regard, and if the man is no longer available, they're going to see if they can get somebody else to take that spot. Now, I am not certain why she would have filed for divorce from your dad. If you ask her, she's just going to try to blame him.
Of course.
I would recommend you ask him instead. But I'm willing to wager that it's the same old, it's the usual suspect. She thought she found a bigger, better deal. She thought she had an option to get a better deal. And whether she was telling herself, well, I can get a better deal if I can just dump the dead weight, or if she told herself, I've already found a better deal, I just need to get rid of him. Either which way it went, it didn't work out, obviously. She hasn't remarried, has she?
Nope, and her dating prospects are horrendous.
Okay, so what that tells me is she's way over the age of 50.
Yes, sir.
okay, she works at UPS, but she's a female, needs to lose a little weight. But then again, it doesn't matter at this point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and just drop it on them. How old is mom? Go on, just let's have it.
Forgive me. I don't know the exact age. I'm a shit son. But she is in her 50s, yes.
Okay. Early 50s, late 50s?
I would say mid-50s.
Okay. Let's just keep it 100. I mean, you're about to turn middle-aged yourself. How many 50-year-olds you trying to date at this point? How many 40-year-olds you trying to date and make a commitment?
Zero.
And actually, and not just date and have sex, but actually make a commitment to, a long-standing commitment. Who's the 40-year-old female that you're sizing up to change her life for the rest of her day? I mean, let's just say it like it is. So what I'm saying is, mama would have been better off staying where she was. It's a wasteland out here. She's in her mid-50s. Whatever delusions she had about what a hot ticket she tells herself, baby, all you are is a 50-something-year-old chick with stretch marks, road miles, and a whole bunch of baggage and attitude. Ain't nothing out here for you but an ass woman. There's nothing out here for you. Nothing. So she left the only good situation she had so she can be alone. I can't even say she can be run through. It's just that she can be alone. That's it. She's just going to be alone now. Which, if you want to hear about the narcissist, now, if you want to hear what a narcissist is, a narcissist believes that the most beautiful person they ever met was themselves. Narcissists tend to be alone by necessity and by choice. Because, number one, they think they're so great that they can't be around other people, or because other people run the hell from them because there's no benefit. Remember, narcissists, one of the defining characteristics of narcissists that most people don't talk about is when a person is resourceful, we don't care about their attitude. They're resourceful. They're useful. It's just a quirk. When a person can't perform and they got a outrageously conceited worldview, how are you so conceited and you have no accomplishments proportional to your level of self-aggrandizement? You
wow.
see, it's not, it's, if you think you're the greatest thing in the world, it ain't narcissism if you are. Take a look at MMA. John Jones is narcissistic. He's also the best in the world. Say whatever you will, he's also the best in the world. His level of ego is proportional to his level of performance. You act like you're the best thing in the world. I kind of am. You need to understand that, but I ain't got to prove it to you. I kind of am. Remember Mike Tyson when he was the world champ? They said the same thing about him. He's also knocking niggas out in 30 seconds. It's not narcissism if it's proportional to your level of performance. It is narcissism. It'd be like us calling Beyonce narcissistic. She's selling out. This chick could sell out any stadium on the planet. She kind of is the best in the world. It ain't narcissism when you really are that good. Other folks might not like to hear how good you are, but you kind of really are that good. Now, if you're just an average, mediocre person, you don't have the ability to be conceited about anything because your level of ego is not, your level of ego is grossly out of proportion to your level of performance. You ain't got no win. So how are you going to sit up here and talk about how great you are? You have no win. So just understand, if you want to know who the I found the narcissist in the room, all right. I found him. It's not you, but I found him. So, brother, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, the other thing here is based upon your age, you know, your mom is taking a look at you, man. You got to understand a lot of these folks here, they don't like that. You know, you made it to your mid-30s. You got no kids. You got no obligations. All they see is freedom. They see freedom. Now, you are hitting the stride in your life right now, and all they see is he's got his freedom. That is what they see. He's hit his peak. He's hitting his peak earning abilities in his mid-30s. I mean, you're hitting your stride, and all they see is, damn, I wish I could trade places with him. He is more physically capable, more emotionally stable, more financially progressive, more capable than he's ever been in his life, and he's totally free. No kids, no nothing. No kids, no anything. Damn, I wish that were me. When I was his age, I was saddled under 2-3 kids. I wish I could get a do-over. So they start vicariously trying to corrupt you because they're wishing they could have had a do-over. Don't let them sit up here and spoil you with that. They had their chance. You played your cards correctly, and you're continuing to do so. Your job is very, very
simple.
In the next 24 to 36 months, you're supposed to double your income. And then after you have doubled it the first time, in 24 to 36 months after that, you double it again. You're an over-the-road trucker right now. You know what I'm going to ask you. Do you have your endorsement?
I have all of them except for hazmat.
Okay. You know how I'm about
yes,
truckers.
Yes, sir.
The early part, because if y'all don't do it early, you ain't never going to go back and get it.
Yeah.
So you need to have your tank, your hazmat, your doubles. Get it all now at the beginning, because you ain't never going to go back and go get them again. You know that. You're going to be too busy, and you're going to do everything in the world why you can't take out the time to go do that. You're not going to do it unless an employer requires it. And good luck on that. You'll be set in your ways, and you won't ever get it. If you already got it, you got leverage when you walk in there. And, of course, experience, and be making sure that you're maximizing your income and whatnot. Paying by the mile might not necessarily be the best thing. It depends, but you're learning the ropes about it. But just understand, you're going to be doubling your income from where you were at that casino. And then in another 2 or 3 years, we come back and get to work on doubling it again. And that's it. By the time you hit your 40s, man, you're straight. You're straight. Right out of the gate. And then now you can make boss moves wherever you are. But don't be surprised when other people around you who squander their opportunities start getting a little jealous. Don't be surprised.
Awesome. Hey, it's been an honor to be gamed up by you. Black First.
Black First, brother, thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do give us a call again. Most conceited people in the room who have no accomplishments, I'm going to call you narcissistic. Interesting. Caller from area code 267. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? My name is Timmy. I'm calling from PA.
Okay. If you have your phone on speaker, you need to take your phone off.
Okay. Hold on.
And this heifer is not ready for life in general. First of all, she presses the number 1 when she calls in, thinking that's going to get her put to the front of the line. That's the first problem. Second of all, she's not ready for life.
I'm sorry.
And she's killing the now she's killing the quality of my program here. Lady, what is your name? Where are you calling from?
Timmy.
The inimitable Timmy. And what is on your mind?
I do apologize at the song. I just want to let you know this is a great show and I like what you're doing. I appreciate your show and what you do and make me see things in a different light. So thank you very much.
Folks. Some of y'all got your ADHD kids out here and you're almost smiling and dialing. It's rough on me. Call of Mary Codes 510. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Jay from Miami.
Jay from Miami, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just had the call because I'm basically the poster child for what you're talking about today. One dynamic is that a lot of us that grew up primarily with our mothers from religious backgrounds raised to be good guys. In other words, when you meet a woman, meet a girl, you're supposed to get to know her, be her friend first, kind of get a sense of who she is as a person before getting in her pants. And we're raised to think that, and that's just not the way to do things. If you learn later in life, well, then that it just doesn't work. You need to come at things with sexual energy, like right away. And if you don't, you're just not going to get the necessary experience. Because women do experience.
You can, a female cannot raise a boy to be a man. What she's going to try to do, consciously or subconsciously, but directly or inadvertently, she is going to try to mold you into that which serves her purposes best, which is why you can never ask a female the question or allow a female to answer the question, what is a real man? Because she's always going to define, quote, a real man as whatever serves her purposes best. Now, when you ask her what defines a real woman, she's going to go back and she's going to be able to define what suits her purpose is best. But she's not going to define a real woman as what suits a man's purpose is best. That's why coming in the gate, a female cannot weigh in on this. She's got ulterior motives. She doesn't have a proper frame of reference. She cannot build a boy into a man. She's going to try to just mold you into what serves her needs, not into what serves yours. Now, as far as the sexual energy thing is concerned, what I will say is, you know, sex is a side effect of having your act together. But about the religious thing in particular, you know, it's what tends to happen, especially if you're raised by single moms, what tends to happen, you got a female who isn't equipped to handle this job and has no frame of reference and just is not equipped. So what she's going to do is she's going to try to mold you into the type of guy who wouldn't leave her, and she's going to call those principles and characteristics. So she's going to extract the parts that serve her desires to keep you connected to her and make you a better tool of servitude, the type that she wished she could have found. But it is not going to be the kind that serves your purposes best. So they want to make you into a goody-two-shoes type of dude, but when you really realize it, they're giving you character traits that make you subservient to females, not character traits that make you dominant and leading. And ironically enough, the lack of that dominant leading personality makes them, they like you, but they don't respect you. And then as you get older, you realize, damn, being liked, I need to be respected. That's the component that's usually missing.
Yeah, it was really hard for me to center the concept that my own mother would want to put me in a situation where I'm less likely to even be able to give her grandchildren. I mean, that was just kind of a tough thing for, I think, myself and probably a lot of other people to just center that. Why would she want to sabotage you? But, you know,
because she is threatened, because she is damaged and threatened by masculine energy. So because she has never had a good experience, never had a beneficial experience, she is turning that anxiety and whatnot and inflicting it on, had attempted to inflict on our children. Because if you can see it, then you can now make decisions and choices to alter that. But she was never able to be eligible for positive masculine experience. So now she is trying to use that against you in this regard. So when she sees your masculine energy, she's threatened by that. That's something that needs to be controlled, diluted, suppressed. That's what needs to happen there. So don't be doing too much. No, we don't want right there. And inversely, the real problem is the only type of male that she would respond to would be an alpha. So they try to mold you into exactly the type of female, the type of male that they don't even want themselves.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I called in, just to kind of let other guys know, especially folks that are in their early 20s, because I personally have been in a sort of purgatory for the last 20 years trying to make up for stuff I missed out on in, you know, my early adulthood, and you don't want to end up like that. So this perspective just doesn't get out there, so I just gotta do my part to make sure that it does. So you gotta lead. You gotta get out there and kind of put those things to the side. So that's all.
Like I say, the good thing about being a male is that we learn by doing. That's the good news. That's the good part about it. As males, all we have to do is get the physical part together. But once we have that together, everything else from there is learning by doing. What creates a beta is denying him experiences where he skins his knees, where he gets experiences, where he experiences discomfort and has to overcome it. When you shield him and put him in a little cocoon and turn him into a faux girl and try to insulate him from the world. So if you want to know what breaks beta behavior, it is getting out there and exposing yourself and being willing to get, you know, knocked down and scraped up and everything, exposing yourself to danger, to risk, and then learning how to overcome the emotional part of it and the physical part of it. So getting out there in the world is the cure for being a beta. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get call of America code 202. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good evening, Mr. Black. This is Bobby Ray calling from the United Kingdom, sir.
Bobby Ray from the UK. What's on your mind?
Sir, I have to agree with that last caller and stuff. You broke down everything, and I am a poster child as well to me being a beta male, and it's something else I would like to chime in as well. I feel that beta male behavior, something that most beta men do, is they share all of their personal information, even incriminating stuff, because they're looking for some type of mentorship or guidance, regardless even if that guidance is completely incorrect. What would you say to that, Mr. Black?
I mean, I guess it depends on who it is, but you certainly don't want to be needy. That's the real thing to watch out for. A man should not be needy. But if you've been raised with those beta traits, then yes, you'll find yourself needy, subservient. So I would just caution, you want to have somebody that does mentor you. That's not a problem. As a man, we should have mentors. We should have teachers. We should have role models, especially what male role models. There's nothing wrong with that. But where it becomes risky,
yes,
is when you start, if you become needy, because that's a lack of emotional discipline.
Yes, sir. Now, with that being said, with my current situation, because, I mean, I know I actually did try to hit you up on email to let you know about my status in the UK. And as far as with being needy, I know that whenever trouble has always arose, I've always reached out to my mother. But I'm at a stage in my life, Mr. Black, where I don't want to reach out to my mother because I need to understand. I am almost 30 years old. It's time for me to grow the hell up. So I need to suffer. And relating to what David Goggins says, that in order for true growth to be developed, you have to go through suffering. So when I return back stateside, I'm not even trying to reach out to her at all. I want to figure out things on my own and go from there and adapt and overcome. But for me as well too, sir, I have taken pride all my life trying to give back to others, trying to build some type of self-worth and satisfaction. But everything that you discussed this evening about what makes beta male behavior, that is me. Literally, that is me. Even though on an exterior surface, I may look like an alpha with my physique, but internally, I am beta to the fullest.
Well, that's the bad news. The good news is it is completely under your control, and the moment that you make the decision that you want things to be different, things will start the process of becoming different. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do give us a call again. Let me get call of Mary code 707. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you're on live.
Hello?
Touching yourself for a few moments. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Iris, and I'm from Northern California.
Okay, Iris, from where in California?
I'm from the Bay Area.
Okay. Let's try this one more time. Iris, where are you calling us from, ma'am?
I am calling you from Santa Rosa, California, sir.
All right. Iris from Santa Rosa, what's on your mind?
Well, the point that I really resonated with was the point on confidence. And just to say that when a man has a confident walk, good posture, and it's like it doesn't even matter if you don't have to know if he's going somewhere or not, I think it is very attractive. And that was one of the things that attracted me to my honey. He happens to be an electrician, state certified, and, you know, he's never not been able to accomplish anything. So that was one of the things that I just wanted to add to the conversation is that, you know, when a man has a good walk, it is very, very attractive to women.
Yeah, and that's another problem with having females raise boys because, I mean, when the boys watch their mother, women walk differently from men. They carry themselves differently. It doesn't do any good for a boy to see a female example around him like that. He needs to have a male example. I think Denzel Washington is really the archetype of that. He is really the prime example of that. Take a look at his career. Denzel Washington is walk, he struts, and there's no part of him that looks feminine in that way. Everything about him says masculine and alpha, right down to the way he walks, the way he holds his head, everything. Those are the kind of cues. Remember, I've always taught you all that males, boys, pick up from what they see. Girls pick up from what they're told. Boys pick up from what they see. You don't tell a boy something. You sit him down and you have him do it. He learns by watching the others around him. He gets inculcated from watching the example of the others around him and emulating that. So right down to those mannerisms, those are key things that need to be established firmly when they're developing. And these are things that they won't even notice unless somebody points it out. They won't even notice it. But, yes, you can tell the difference. You can see who was raised in a single mother home by the way they walk. You can see who was raised in a single mother home by the way they swing their arms when they walk. You can see who was raised in a single mother home by the way that they stand when they're just standing still. Forget even what they're wearing. You can see all these character traits and character cues in that regard. And then you can see who was raised around some real damn men by the way they carry themselves. And by the way, the inverse is true for females. You can see who was raised by hood rats and hoes, and you can see who were raised by actual women and ladies simply by the way they carry themselves, simply by the way they walk. You can see that. Yes, it is how you do one thing is how you do all things. It permeates every aspect of your life and every aspect of your being. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 901. You're on live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, Jason, B1. This is Jonathan calling out of New York. By the way, of Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, Jonathan, now we're at New York.
Right now I'm in Queens,
Jonathan,
Long Island
Queens,
City. All right. One of the moderators told me to call in because I was reading the comment section and somebody said, nice guy, finished last. And then someone seconded that opinion by saying they're not even in the race. And I had a little pushback on that. I put in the comment section that I had a friend whose whole game was built on playing the nice guy role, and he got multiple women all the time. So your moderators told me to call in and speak on it. So I was just saying that when
you're saying that
people say, hello?
Okay, now you said that you have a friend who
he gained
females by, quote, playing the nice guy role. Can you give me some, give me some detail on exactly what it is you mean by that?
Okay, well, I was going to say, like, when people say the nice guy finished last, I feel like they're speaking on a guy who chooses to deal with, like, quote-unquote, the neighborhood thought. And like you said, a guy will sit on the phone and talk to a girl for hours and watch events on by other guys. I just said that because I think that type nice guy type of person they're speaking on is a guy who makes bad decisions when it comes to dealing with women. Like, because if you're a nice guy, if you choose a quote-unquote nice girl or a good girl, you will have a chance at a relationship with her. And I say that, too, because I'm a quote-unquote nice guy. And I understand if I deal with a certain type of woman who likes bad boys, I'm not going to sit on the phone. I'll talk to her, but I'm not going to sit on the phone with her while she vents about other dudes. You know what I mean? I'm not going to try to save her from herself or her bad choices in men.
Okay.
You know,
well,
and I just think,
out,
hello?
Let me find out a couple of things here, then. How old are you?
I'm 35.
Okay, you're 35 years old. Do you have any children?
No children.
Okay, have you been married?
Hold on one second. I can't. You're like super low. I can't really hear you. What'd you say?
I said, have you ever been married?
Oh, no, never been married.
Let me ask you here. Because I asked you a question and I kind of didn't get an answer, but let me try this a different way.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't really hear you really low.
How do you define, quote, being a nice guy?
Well, a nice guy, I guess it's just the opposite of a bad boy. I know that's kind of a general statement, but to me, me being a nice guy, I'm more of a, like, a gentleman or a chivalrous, that type of thing. Just by nature, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, that sounds like being polite, but let me find out. When you say I am chivalrous by nature, chivalry has a specific definition. Why would you consider yourself to be, quote, chivalrous?
Because, for one, I can say, quote, unquote, I had an old soul as a young person, and I have a strong family culture, and they just taught us, you know, I have a lot of uncles. And they just taught us how to, you know, I'm from down south, but they just taught us how to, you know, be respectable, the old school type of thing, chivalry type of thing.
Okay. Well, that,
if you kind of understand what I'm saying about that.
No, I don't understand that. That doesn't actually know.
Okay.
But notice, I asked about nice guy. He can't really define it. About chivalrous, he can't really define it. What to you are the characteristics of a, quote, chivalrous man?
I don't know. It's just, well, I would have to, like, you know, juxtapose it to the, you know, the opposite, like the bad boy type of thing.
Okay. Well, telling me what the bad boys are doesn't tell me what chivalrous is. So what are the characteristics that a person would require? What characteristics would be required of you before you can be called chivalrous?
Just, I guess, like, I don't know. Okay, maybe not chivalry, just like the old school thing. Like, what I say is by nature, it's just like I live in New York, so if I see an old person walking, I'll get, you know, I'll stand to the side, open doors. Just, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but nowadays it just doesn't, you know, I mean, people just don't do that type of thing as far as,
okay,
you know.
Here's the issue. The thing is, you're not a young fella either. You're in your 30s.
Brother, yeah.
Being a night, quote, being chivalrous doesn't register in New York City. I've been to New York City many a time. Got plenty of folk in New York listening to me right now. What you're talking about, chivalry is not currency in New York. New York is one of the most, if not the most blatantly, proudly, unabashedly rude cities in America, if not the planet. So for you to say, you're in your mid-30s in New York City, and that chivalry is a currency that gets positive attention from females. Brother, what are you talking about here?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I didn't say it was a currency. I said that's what I am. I didn't say it was a currency. Well, I mean, being in New York, I understand it's not a currency. I definitely...
When you say that that's the kind of thing that really resonates with females, brother, chivalry...
No, I didn't say it resonates with females.
Okay. When you say that being a nice guy, let's be clear. You were asked about being a nice guy. You defined it as chivalrous. So you've already done that. Yes, you did. So when you say that that registers with females, I'm like, which New York City are you referring to?
It resonates with females.
It doesn't resonate with them.
No, what I was saying was when they said nice guy, finish last, I said I don't agree with that. And I just said nice, if you're a nice guy, you have to know what type of woman to choose. Yeah, like
okay.
You said, if you're chivalrous
nice
with
guys,
a woman that doesn't.
Nice guys don't have any traction in New York.
I'm a nice guy. I get traction. But like I said, it's not going to work for everyone.
I would love to see the last two females that you spoke to.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Yes, I'm in New York, and I come from the South. I understand.
I'd love to see him.
That doesn't.
What it sounds like to me is, yeah, I mean, he anybody can get a couple of buck two size 14s to respond. What you're saying, this does not work, and this doesn't translate to the females in New York. I mean, it doesn't. What you're
I mean, it's not going to translate with most females. I agree. But what I'm saying is, like I said, if a guy is a good guy, he has to choose a certain type of woman that can actually recognize those qualities.
What makes a guy a, quote, good guy?
When I say good, like, I guess with, like, old school values, you know, like opening a door for a chick. I mean, those are simple things, but it's something everybody can, like, relate to.
Something other than the opening the door thing. What other characteristics makes a guy a, quote, good guy?
A guy that doesn't take advantage of a woman if he has the opportunity to.
Okay, explain to me.
Or a guy doesn't.
A guy who doesn't take advantage.
A guy that doesn't.
What does that mean? Specifically, what does that mean, doesn't take advantage of a woman? What does that mean?
Okay, let's say a girl. Okay, you let's say you just know a girl, whatever. And she just broke up with a guy. And, you know, she's emotionally vulnerable. A good guy can say, you know what, I could take advantage. Well, a guy could say I could take advantage of her emotional state and use that to my advantage. But then a good guy can say, you know what, I'm not going to do that to her. If you know what I mean.
Well,
if you understand that example.
Right. So what you're saying is that if the guy allows a female to treat him like her emotional Kleenex.
I can't hear you. What you say?
A guy who allows a female to treat him like her emotional Kleenex, because I want to remind you, you said you are the one who said earlier that you wouldn't just allow a female to just sit there for hours talking to you on the phone. You have now just said that what makes you a good guy, and you advocate for being a good guy, is to allow a female to sit there and talk to you on the phone about another man, and that yourself is that you would not take advantage of that. So we're kind of contradicting what we said earlier.
Okay. Well, maybe I can need to clarify myself. I'm not saying when I say a girl is emotionally vulnerable. I'm not saying you just let her vent. When I say emotionally vulnerable, where you can take advantage of her, is when if she's emotionally vulnerable, you can use that to your advantage to quote unquote sleep with her. And I'm not talking on the phone for 2 weeks. I'm talking about that same night type of thing.
Okay, I'm talking.
Or
about,
you can
I'm
say
same night. I'm talking about the same night also, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. No. No.
Why do we have,
why do we
have a female on our phone discussing her interpersonal sexual relationships with another man while she's on the phone with you? That's exploitation. That's allowing yourself to be used. That's what that is. That's not something I'm proud of. That's allowing yourself to be used.
And this is what I'm saying is it is not going to take all night to talk on the phone to get it. It just,
you're misunderstanding. Huh? How did she get on your phone in the first place?
No. When I made that example, it had nothing to do with a phone call. I'm just saying, if you know a woman is emotionally vulnerable.
For example, you gave it. Now you need to stand by your word.
I'm standing by it, but when I said that example, I never said anything about a phone call.
Let's not talk over the host now.
Okay.
I can do that. It's a bad look for you, and you need to understand, folks, you talk like this. Just understand, you got to stand by your words. These are the things that you said, and it's already clarified. What you're not liking is, oh, hell, you didn't think this over. This is not a good look. How did she get on your phone in the first place with an agenda to discuss another man?
Okay, like I said,
when I said that phone call thing, that was a different, that was just a different example. When I said, when you asked me how would
no, that's the
a good guy take advantage emotionally of
your example of what constitutes a good guy. That was your example that you
yeah.
You gave that as the example after long, withering questioning I gave you. You settled on that example as, well, this is what qualifies a man to be categorized as a good guy. And I'm sitting here saying, okay, fine, I will take that. So, folks, what he is saying is that a good guy allows a female to call him up and discuss her interpersonal problems with another man. So she's calling, and by the way, what makes you a good guy is that you will allow a female to talk about her problems with another man she's sleeping with, and you yourself will declare out the gate that sex with you is off the table. So we're discussing her sex with another guy, and sex with you isn't even a consideration by your decree, not hers. You are doing it for yourself. So remember what I said here before, folks. Understand, thank you very much for giving us a call about this, because this validates what I said here. He believes he's going to get something is what he thinks is going to happen. They consider disrespect the cost of an easier life, and they really do believe that, number three, you think that being subservient will gain you mercy or favor. But just understand, what you just described as being emotional Kleenex, a woman doesn't respect that. There's a reason why she's calling you talking about another guy. She ain't going to be calling another guy talking about how nice you were. Oh, he was real nice. He, quote, didn't take advantage. She's calling you about the guy who did take advantage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to listen to it back, but that's not what I said. Those two different examples, but you put them together, because I didn't say that. If I go back, I said I would not let a girl call me and talk on the phone about another guy. That's what I said. And then you asked me the example about what is a good guy, and I said I wouldn't take advantage of a woman who's emotionally, you know,
yes,
in an emotional state.
You're not going to be able to go back and rewrite that. I didn't put those together. That's what you said. You said.
No, no. I said what I said.
Female called me, and she's having trouble with her guy. I wouldn't try to take advantage. That's the example that you
No. You put those two together. I didn't say
no,
that.
I said I would not. Now he doesn't want to stand by those.
No. I'll go back and listen, because I know what I do, and I don't do that. So I know I wouldn't say that. But then you asked me what is an example of a good guy. And I said a good guy is someone, if a woman is emotionally vulnerable, he wouldn't take advantage of her. I was giving an example.
And I asked you specifically, well, how? Give me an example of taking advantage. Well, if she's having trouble with her man and she calls you.
No, I didn't say that. I said if a woman is emotionally, vulnerable. I didn't say nothing about a man. But I said earlier, if a woman talks on the phone, I would not do that. You put those two together.
Okay. How, if she's not in contact with you, how would you take advantage of her if she's not even contacting you? And her
No, but this is what I was saying. If you just know a girl, I mean, if you're talking to girls, you know a chick, right? Or whatever. Let me give you an example. You said, how would I know? Let's say
of her if you're not talking to her. So if
no, okay, so I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you an example. About how would I would know if a girl that I don't even talk to on the phone. Can I give you an example?
Go ahead and try to paint your way out of this corner. Go ahead.
I'm not in the corner. I'll give you an example. Let's get an understanding. Let's say I work with a chick, right? I talk to her every day at work, but we don't talk on the phone.
Thank you.
And every day at work.
It doesn't matter about the phone. We're already communicating.
Huh?
Thank you. We're already communicating.
What'd you say?
It doesn't have anything to do with the phone. You're already in communication.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I'm saying. Let's say I work with a girl, wherever, on a lunch break. You know how girls talk. This, that. Let's say she got a boyfriend. This, that, and third. Da, da, da. She flirts with me at work. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. Then one day she comes to work. Oh, I broke up with my man. A dude like, man, it's the perfect time to slide in. She just broke up with her man, da, da, da. Let me slide in.
Okay, does a nice
so then
guy.
I'd be like, okay, you know what? I ain't really trying to deal with that.
Wait a minute, but does a nice guy do that?
Huh?
What does the nice guy do in that scenario?
he goes, oh, you broke with your man, blah, 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 and tries to play the nice guy role. Oh, that's so sad, da, da, da. You need someone to talk to, da, da, da.
Right.
That type of thing.
As, okay, so what you're saying is that you
A nice guy, but like I say, a nice guy, he'll be like, if he's a genuine nice guy, he'll be like that, and he wouldn't be trying it.
I'm going to try this one more time because you're not acting like a nice guy on the phone with me.
Okay, you're really low on my phone, so I can barely hear you. That's what it is.
Quiet, you hear me. Everybody else heard me just fine. You were the one who gave these examples. All I'm doing is repeating your examples. You gave these examples. And what you just did after claiming up and down that you were misunderstood, you just gave an example that exactly reiterated what you said before. The only thing you changed is, we conversed in person as opposed to on the phone. At the end of the day, you gave an example of a female who is involved with another man, strikes up a conversation with you specifically to discuss her sexual issues with another man and sex. You consider being a nice guy to be talking to her under those circumstances while removing any sexual interaction or desire from the table. Now, that's what you define as being a good guy. A good guy, and I just want to make sure all I'm doing is clarifying what you said. In your mind, a good guy will discuss another woman's sexual interactions with another man while declaring that you yourself will deny yourself any sexual access to while y'all are discussing that. I just want to let you all know, this is what he considers to be a good guy. That is not pretending. That's not playing a nice guy role. That's being a beta. Because you're never going to be able to put that down. If a female approaches, you're not going to sit up here and you under those circumstances and then try to flip it later. That's not the way it works. That's fantasy talk. A female doesn't. If you let a female approach you in that manner, all she's going to do is talk about sex. She's not going to talk about you. And if she does, it's going to be some raggedy ass sympathy sex. But it is not going to be, you know what, you are a lot better than him. It's not going to be that. So you guys, this is what I mean. A lot of y'all are out here begging for sex and trying to beg your way up on it as opposed to attracting it. Because what you just did, what you described, that's begging for sexual access. That isn't attracting it. She didn't come talk to you from attraction. You tried to put a little spin on it to say, well, if she flirts with you, dude, if she's got a man and you know it, all that quote-unquote flirting with you, that's that damn workplace friend zone stuff. Females are by nature. If she ain't talking to you about, I just got rid of this other dude I've been talking to, what are we going to do? That's not what you described. It was, I got rid of this other dude, I'm really broken up about it. Oh, well, I need a friend's shoulder to cry on. She didn't. That is not. If you call that being a good guy, okay, you call it being a good guy, I call it being a good beta. And most people
okay.
Because if the roles were reversed and you were a guy at the office that she was interested in and you wanted to talk to her about another female, she'd feel some kind of way about that. She wouldn't be calling herself being a good girl. She'd be like,
that's true.
Sitting here. So just understand, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, and especially in New York. That's not going to work. But thank you very much to get the call tonight. Hey, I just wanted you all to understand, there's the example. There it is. But being a good guy means allowing a female to use you as her emotional repository. That is what defines a, quote, good guy. And remember what I said here, a beta actually considers himself to be an alternative alpha male. This guy is saying, well, I'm just pretending to do the beta thing. Do you think a female genuinely respects you after you've allowed her interactions with you to be on that level? So just remember, if you wanted proof positive that what I was saying was absolutely true, what he said there you go. Proves point number 6. He really does consider that to be an alternative alpha. Really does look at it that way. Really does. Let me get a caller from area code 404. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Will from Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Will from Stone Mountain, what's on your mind?
I wanted to piggyback off the first caller because I also was a trucker, and I was listening to your program. And I took the next step from being a trucker. I'm an owner operator now, and I doubled my income from about like $58,000 a year to about like $120,000, $115,000 a year. And once you start ramping up your performance, you can instantly feel the leverage that you have over like most people. So there's no reason just to act like a beta or be narcissistic. And a lot of women will call you narcissistic too, but that's because they want a piece of the pie, really. Like, don't worry about that. But it's all right to say.
As a man, society has deceived men today in thinking that we gain favor in the eyes of females by quote-unquote pleasing them. Instead of us being men first and then women do what they do, which is acclimate to the environment, we've got it reversed where the man is supposed to acclimate to her environment. And that's not leading. And if you do it, she's going to lose respect for you. So there's the real thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That. You're being difficult. You're a man. You're supposed to be difficult. It takes a difficult person to deal with difficult things. You're a man. You're supposed to be rough. You're supposed to be difficult. That's your job. You ain't supposed to be easy. That's the female's job. The female is supposed to be soft. The female is supposed to be easy. The female is supposed to be accommodating. The female is supposed to be subservient. You're the man. You're supposed to be the opposite. You're not supposed to double down on what she got. You're supposed to bring all the things she doesn't have. That's how you get out there on the road day after day, week after week and whatnot, turning and earning, and you can do it for 2, 3, 4, 5 decades. And the females are trying to get on maternity leave after 6 months. As a man, you're built for that. Don't let anybody sit
there. Yeah, exactly.
The very characteristics make you productive are somehow a negative. Those are character traits that make you productive. Don't let anybody shame you and act like that's a negative. It is not a negative. It'd be a negative if you didn't have it. Thank you very much for giving us the call tonight. They did say that we had another caller here on the line. I'm not really sure where they think they're calling from, but I don't see you on there. Let me get a caller from area code 337. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, you're on live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah. This is G, and I'm calling from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
G from Lake Charles, what's on your mind?
Yeah. I was just calling, man. Thank you, Mr. Black, because there's a lot of things that you done taught me, and just like the last caller was saying, he on his own truck business. When I first started listening to you, man, I was in a concrete truck. I was driving every day, listening to everything that you were saying. The hurricane came, and I was waiting on my opportunity down here. I grabbed me a dump truck, doubled my income. Then I just grabbed me another dump truck and a tractor and doubled my income again. And I got to take my hat off to you because, man, what you be saying – it's straight up 100%, straight up true. When you get your weight up, these people treat you a whole new way. I don't have to answer to nobody. When I go up there, they already know what it is. I wait for this show to come on every day. At first, one time it went off and I thought you had them blocked. Now I even tried to pay for your Patreon just for to get back on it because I owe all this to you. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have never even been here if I wouldn't listen to the things that you saying. So everybody out there that listen to this man, I take my hat off to you, Mr. Black, because everything that you saying, and you done put me in a position to where I know I have power. I don't have to act like I don't have to do this here. I don't have to mention it to nobody. They know when I pull up what it is. And it's all from you. So I just wanted to just say I appreciate it, brother. Man, I love what you're doing. Keep on doing what you're doing. You done changed me. My nephews and them even came because I don't have no kids, Mr. Black. They was out of control. I'm talking about doing everything. They came down here. They wanted to stay with me. They driving the dump trucks. They only 15, some 17. Operating the dump truck, operating the tractor, I'm teaching them so they can step up. I'm investing in them. You got me investing in them. So that when I leave, they are in the predicament for to take over what I got for to send me out. And every driver that they have, I want 15% off of it, and everything that they get, I want 50% because I put them there. So I'm billing them to bill me. And like you always say, when them kids are in a different environment, man, I'm talking about they done did 160. You know how Louisiana is.
Oh, yeah.
We get down here. It ain't no plan. I'm talking about these kids done did 120-round split. My little sister, because it's her kid, she be asking me, what did you do to them? Man, y'all got to get on here. And these kids will follow, but you can't tell a kid nothing if you not doing nothing yourself.
Yeah,
these kids look at me.
Dealing with boys.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Males here.
Yeah, the males. They dad went to. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Give them lip service. The problem is you got too many folk out here. White kids, they folk, you know, you from Louisiana like me. The white folk don't get their kids lip service. They get their kids tools. They give them mechanic tools. They give them the wheel. They put them in the position. They don't sit here and tell them nothing. They put them in the position. You want these kids to listen to you. You can't sit up here giving them a sermon. You got to give them opportunities.
True.
You put them in that position. Don't tell them about nothing. What you did, you put it in their hands and whatnot. And what it shows is that, yeah, all that other stuff, that the energy is unfocused. So, of course, the energy is going in wayward directions. The energy is unfocused. Ain't nobody gave them a place to focus that energy in a productive way. If folks quit talking and give them the damn tools they need, they're going to make it do what it do.
They gonna make it do what it do. You're, and man, and all that is all to you. All that, everything that I've been taught, that you teach, I teach them. I teach them about this episode. I teach them about the little girls, because they got a lot of little girls that want to be with. And like I tell them, that's be expected. Listen, look at where you at right now. They see the outcome. Everybody plans for this. They be having little white girls taking my stuff. I say, because they dad and them recognize money when they see it. We not going to play that game. You know what I'm saying? And they listen to me with that. And, man, I can't thank you enough, man. I never seen such kids turn the way that they turned when they came from my, because I'm originally from Alexandria, right down the street from you, but I came here because all the things that go on now, and there was more opportunity here. They came with me. They seen something in me, and they didn't want to leave. So when I get up and for the summer, even when I go out and I'm driving my dump truck and I'm going to do some runs and some dirt, they like, wake me up. I want to go with you. Why are you,
well,
you wake me up?
I mean, because you're doing something, man. That's the real thing about it. I mean, the kids going to gravitate. Look, especially young boys, man, they're looking for hustle, man. They're looking for, look.
Yeah, Shaolin.
You want something. So if the only people got anything moving is the gangsters, guess where they going to go? If the only people got anything moving is the hustlers and the dope dealers, guess where they going to go? Okay, in your case, you got things moving. They got access to it. So it really comes down to what are their options. We sit up here and blame the kids and whatnot, when in reality, the folks who are older than them ain't laid no stones and haven't done that. The Asians do that. The Arabs do that. The white folks do that. We don't do it. And then we'll sit up here and blame the kids because they had to make a way on their own, and it didn't end up the way we would have wanted to. There's what ends up happening. So, like I say, I mean, it's not rocket science to it when you put it out there and whatnot. More often than not, what you just said reminded me of Denzel Washington and Malcolm X, if you remember that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when he met West Indian Archer, and, you know, West Indian Archer, well, we got to head on up out of here and go, we got to go take care of some business. And he was telling him, let me go ahead and make that run with you. And he's like, no, not this time. But that's the way it works, dude. They go-getters, man. They go-getters. They don't go for it and whatnot. If they're given the opportunity, they're going to surprise you. But if they're around some folks who ain't doing nothing, don't be surprised. If sitting around a bunch of folks who ain't doing nothing makes them not do nothing. Give them an opportunity. They get a chance to hustle, they're going to hustle.
Yeah, and like I say, all that is up to you. All that, every drop of it, man. And I be hearing them some of the time talk about them young kids, you know, and they can't tell me nothing because of what I done seen and what I done done. So,
did we lose him? Yeah, we got the line here.
Yeah, no, Mr. I'm still here. I'm sorry, but No, what I was saying, for to continue on with my point, was that these kids, and I'm talking about, you already know, like I say, you know how we get down. These kids are not no joke about here. And they was them kids taking everything, doing this and doing that. They was those type. They was out there doing that. Man, when I brought them to my house, Mr. Black, put them in the truck with me, every time I get off, they want to know how to raise the dump bed up. They clean the truck. They want to know how I grease down the truck. They want to know, these kids want to know everything, but they are in the environment where these people won't give them a chance. I don't know, is it the conditioning? I don't know, because both of their dads in jail. I got three of my sister kids. The last one she gave to me when it was small, when it was like 1 year old. So I call them mine, but the other ones came to me while they were still young, about 6 or 7. And man, they going to college. I got their college thing, and the other one came to me when he was 15. He turned all the way around, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I take my hat off to you, and I give all the praise to you, because these things you told us for to invest in these youth. You telling us so many times that you have to do something and put them on a track to do something, because that's how all these other people are doing it. The Arabs, the whites, Chinese, whatever it is, they getting stores, they putting them kids in there, letting them run them, doing this here and doing that. I got that dump truck. I utilized my ski. I had all my endorsements, got everything that you was telling, what you were saying. Went straight to buy my own dump truck because I went to, like, the boss man. I said, you going to give me a raise? He said, no. He said, well, give me a little time. I said, well, that's cool. I said, man, I'm not waiting on no time. I said, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to get up out here on my own. I'm not scared for to go up out here. I went up out there on my own. The kids looked at me. They followed me because they seen it in my eyes. And every day I listen, every time you come on, I'll be waiting on this show to come on because it gave me motivation to keep on pushing. And I kept on pushing. And now I just then got my second dump truck, and these kids just started looking. And I'm handing them all down to them and letting them finish me on off and let them start up with something. Because if you don't invest in these youth, if you don't invest in them and see the talent that they have, you are not. What is the cause for? What you putting them down for? Show these kids. I'm talking about even when I go back to the neighborhood where they from, then the kids that's there, they the ones that the people are calling all gangster and bad kids and all. They want to come with me, and they respect, like you be saying, my paperwork is good on the yard. I bring these kids with me most of the time during the summer, let them stay with me and do the little tractor jobs and do stuff, and I never have no problem out of them kids. And the first thing they do is they call me, and they getting little jobs on the side down there, ask me, well, what do you do? How do you do this? What you think I should be with this? What you think I should be? They looking to me for leadership, and that's all because of you, that I couldn't do this here without you. Man, Mr. Black, I just want to say thank you, bro. And that's from the bottom of my heart, because I see the change. If nobody else doing nothing about here and they don't understand you by now, if they don't understand what you're saying by now, I done seen it. I see it every day. And I always be waiting on your show, but I never get the chance to really call in. I just sit back and I listen. And I strategize everything that you say. And, man, these kids are on like, they done did a 102 turnaround, bro. And, man, I just got to say thank you. I done shot my foundation. I got one of them, the other one that's playing basketball, he got scholarships. He going to college. But I got one of them that's in diesel mechanics. They for to take over everything because they have to have a skill. I listen to every point that you make. I want them to know these trucks inside and out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's good, I think. Well, first of all, thank you for your words. It's very flattering. But I put that on you, man, you know, because like I say, all I can do is let you all know what I've seen. And, it's up to you to pick it up and run with it. You pick it up and run with it, and other people don't pick it up with it. So I send a shout out to you on that regard, man. You know, you picked it up.
Man, thank you, bro.
You can just sit there and look at the game. You pick the game up and say, hey, let me do something. I know that's not easy. I've been in that position.
No.
I know what it's like to be working for somebody else. I know what it's like to be driving for somebody else and then have to get your own vehicles and stuff like that. It can be intimidating. It's an intimidating thing because now it's all on you. But just understand, that's the part that especially them boys are going to pick up on. Not the financial part, the character part of it, that this was something that was really risky. And they understand, hey, he took a risk, but he didn't let that stop him. He was willing to accept the consequences, good or bad, whichever way it went, and he wasn't going to let the consequences of it stop him or the risk of it stop him. Those are character traits. Money can't buy that. That's a character trait. All this money in the world can teach them what you taught them through that example. That, yeah, this is risky, but I'm going to do this anyway. Now they've seen you do it, they're going to be like, well, hell, you know, it's an encouragement that they can face down their fears about that. That's a character trait. So I think that's a really big thing in that regard.
Trying to turn them into employees, not employers. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate it, man, from the bottom of my heart. And like I said, nobody else don't get it up on this here channel, what you saying. I done seen it firsthand for myself. I done seen the kids do 150 turn. I done seen them act. I done seen their attitude completely change. The way that I handle business, I take them with me. I let them be, even with the money or whatever I do, I go there. That'll be the way they'll know where I messed up at, but they know that I'm right back on it. But because I want them to learn, I want them for to learn from my mistakes. That if this here costs you, they will know how to do it after me. And they are taking it and they are striding with it. And that's all up to you, big brother, man. I just want to say thank you, Jay. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing what you're doing, man. I love it. I tried to subscribe to your Patreon. I don't know too much about the technology thing or how do I get in there. I try to put in my card and subscribing, but I don't know. It ain't have nothing to have me for to send the money there for to actually get on there. And even when I get on there, I ain't going to really know how to get in there. But what I know how to find you on YouTube, and I wait for your program to come on every day, this business thing, because it's teaching me and it's teaching them. And they are amazing. They taking it and they striding with it. They riding with it. And, man, I just see 110% change inside these kids that I can't thank nobody else but you and the black media for, because it's been all on me. And my sister and them needed me, and I knew their dad was in jail. You know what I'm saying? Both of them. And they always call me, thanking me and this and that. And I tell them, don't thank me. It's been an honor raising these here boys, because they needed somebody to look up to. They needed somebody to show them that, how to be a man. My sister and them couldn't do that. My mom and them couldn't do that. They were standing my sister, between my sister and my mom. They couldn't raise no man. When they got here, I laid down the rules. This is what it's going to be. You're not going to do this. This is not going to happen. And they was like, well, okay. All right, man. We that's cool with us. We living good. We eating good. He doing something outside. He made, all right, they willing, they learning so fast for the state that the environment they came from doing other things, which you already know what it is. They learned that they picked up this here so fast and ran with it like I never seen this. I never thought it was coming like this. And shit, they damn near ready to put me out the truck right now, and they still young. They only about 15, 14, and they running this here thing like they ready for the takeover right now. And I'm like, well, hold up. I can't take you everywhere. Some of the time I have to drive inside a plant, and you're a little young, so they probably won't let you in there. But they mad when I don't get them to ride with me, you know, because of the simple fact. And it'd be a look at home like, I can't believe you left me. They or these boys are willing to learn. These kids are asking for help. They don't know what to put. All they showing them is the same exact game that's been going on to lead them straight to the road to the jailhouse. You are putting them on a path to where they are actually becoming something, picking up tools, learn a trade. I tell them that all the time. The main thing is learn a trade. I hear that from you. Everything that you tell me about, because when you was telling me about learn a trade, I started learning everything on that truck. I learned everything, how to grease it, what this here is, what that is, the slack adjusters. I fixed my own truck. This is something that I didn't know nothing about. I put an air compressor up on it. I didn't know nothing about that. I started learning everything because, like you always say, you have to know what you have to know the ends. You have to know everything. You learn the whole entire thing, the ins and outs of it, how to take care of your own stuff. And that's what I've been teaching them, man. And they catching on. They learning fast. I love it, bro. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm B1 to the heart, man. And I just can't thank you enough. And keep on going with it. Please don't turn this shit off, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, brother. I'm going to keep doing this till the man come get me. You know how it is.
Man.
Thank you very much.
Keep on. We riding with
you. Appreciate it, man. You know, like I say, you all are the reason I do what I do. You know, I don't do this for me. You all are the reason I do what I do. So as much as you're in awe of me, I'm in awe of all of you. And, you know, there's the only thing I ask for you is pick the ball up and run with it. You know, I'm not supernatural or whatever. There's a whole bunch of folk before me. I got the game handed down to me. I handed the game down to all of y'all. And that's the real thing right there. And we sell our black children so short so much of the time. And that's why I let people know, you know, it's like we got to watch out for them because we sell them out too short. We sell these kids out way too short. And it's really a matter of them, you know, not having opportunities, not having abilities, you know, not having the tools put to them. Other folks are just handed the tools. You call it white privilege, whatever. They hand them the tools. They don't hand them theory. They hand them practice. And our kids we sit up here and talk about how exceptional they are with a damn ball and whatnot. Man, these kids would be exceptional in engineering, exceptional in mechanical. They'll be exceptional in electrical. They will excel at anything you put them in front of. They will excel at it if you give them the opportunity and they're given the chance. We live in a society that handicaps them, that undermines them, that undercuts them. And when you remove that from the equation, they're going to shock you, but they're only going to shock you because it's like, wow, it's amazing what they can do when they're actually given an opportunity to by somebody who approaches them like a man supposed to, puts it in their lap and lets them know this is not a request, this is an instruction. That brings the manhood out of them. Remember what I always taught you all, when they get a certain age, you can't tell them nothing anymore. You put it on them to do it. You tell them what to do. You don't just sit up here and talk at them, request it, and give them theory. After a certain point, you give them instruction. You do this, you do that. That's how it goes. Let me get caller Mary Code 202. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller from 202 has been abducted. Caller from Mary Code 469. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason Black. This is Big Stump. Caller from Dallas, Texas.
Big Stump from Dallas. What's on your mind, brother?
I just want to confirm what you said about, you know, the men with wealth, power, influence, affluence, they get respected. There's no, ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. In my circles, the guys with influence, with affluence, they get respected off the muscle. As soon as they come, they ain't got to flex. It's known. The guys that don't have it, the guys that try to front it, they get weeded out. You can see it. You can see it a mile away. It's the truth. That's all I want to say.
Thank you very much, Stomp, for giving us a call tonight. Please do give us a call again. Real recognize real, especially when it comes to kids. They're going to recognize real. They're going to recognize real. And so does everybody else. Remember what I told you here. When you lack confidence, if you are lacking in confidence, everybody can see it. Everybody can see this. It's amazing what happens when you have confidence. Dovetails beautifully about what we're talking about here in life. Let me get called from Miracle 562. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Jamar from Long Beach, California.
Jamar from Long Beach, what's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted to know, can calling shots in your interpersonal situations qualify as power? Like if you could exercise power in your familial unit or in your friend circle, and I mean that as like opposed to like if you're calling shots in the neighborhood, in the city, in the state, are you making, you're making a like macroeconomic shots? Is there a difference in those different types of power? And does
power,
that create like
power
possibly,
is global?
Yeah, sorry.
Power is global, it's universal. So it's, you shouldn't be powerful in just one area of your life because how you do one thing is how you do all things. So you should have a measure of power and influence in every aspect of your life. Your job as a man is to have as much control over the environment as you possibly can. So by definition, you should aim to control as much as you can.
Absolutely. So does, if you're, and I understand, so is there a middle ground between alpha and beta where individual, you know, they're still growing in their power, but they're not like burdened with a people serving disposition like a beta?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I say, there's that's what I was saying before. There's power can take many different forms, but weakness only has one. When you are dominated, it's very easy to see that you've been dominated. And your job is to make sure that that doesn't occur. Now, I didn't say that you can always prevent it, but your job is to do everything within your means. Make sure that that is not where you're at. That's what you want to be at. You know, your real issue is to take a look at where are the holes in your game, where are you weak, and to deal with those. Because that is what makes you not be a beta. That is what puts things together for you.
Perfect. That makes sense. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 202. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Okay, caller from 202 is having all kinds of issues tonight. Caller from area code 410, you're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, this is Jim, Merchant Marine. Just give you a call. Thank you for everything that you're doing. I'm getting my program together. I'm in Baltimore right now, so I'm getting my Navy cat cars, stuff like that, straightened out. Just saying that appreciate it. I cycled through enough relationships where I had my epiphany. And I just say, I don't know if these women are capable of love or not, but they're capable of respect. And usually I know when I fell into that scarcity mindset where I was kind of like needy, she tried to trade it up on me. I know it's hypergamy, so male nature reacts to female nature by dating down. And I, in order to get around that, I get my socioeconomic status up. So I am kind of, you know, just working on my game and stuff like that. I do know my peak is at 36. I'm making good money right now, like $10,000 a month. So, you know, I'm 26, so I'm just focusing on mainly on my purpose at work. And I'll get my program together. I'm in Baltimore, so I want to move back to Traverse City to Baltimore, see what knowledge that I can dump onto people. But I understand that I need to have my program straight first, and then I'll figure out which woman I select. You know, I'll just cycle it, you know, like a job application to see if she's going to plug it into my program. So that's pretty much my plan so far.
Establish the program. You establish the program first. Focus your energies on establishing the program, and then everybody plugs into it. Now, there's the real thing I want y'all to understand is that, you know, females are a side effect of being productive. The real reason for having a program is so that everything in your life plugs into it. While other folks got car trouble, you don't, because you that gets handled. While other folks have plumbing issues, you don't. That gets handled. Other folks got rent issues. You don't. That gets handled. Other folks got female issues. You don't. Not the same kind they got. It gets handled. So that's the real thing, is to have a program that everybody plugs in. Your CPA, your lawyer, your mechanic, your plumber, your woman, the teacher at the school. When you got your agenda together, everybody plugs into your program, including the female. But if there is no program, there is no agenda, there is no structure to plug into, then you're just kind of running around and easily getting run around. But thank you very much for giving us a call.
I learned
to give us a call again. Let me get a call from area code 862. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Dorcas, and I'm calling from Woodlands, Texas.
Okay, what was the name again?
Dorcas, D-O-R-C-A-S. D is fine.
All right, Darkest, what's on your mind?
All right, so I am an only girl with three brothers. My older brother is well established, and he's taking good care of himself, pursuing his goals. Now, I do have a concern with my younger brother, who is 26, and he seems a little bit unmotivated, and he went back to school for his associate, which he got, And after that, he wanted to go to school for communication. We sort of advised him against it. That was my other brother, not the one who was successful in a way. And he refused. He insisted he wanted to do it. And he went in, but however, he failed and came back with a GPA of 1.5. It's okay because failure does happen. Now, I realized something when I recently saw them was he's doing this whole...
Because our time is limited. What exactly did you want
to ask? Sorry. All right, so the question is, I'm thinking of extending a hand to help him in whichever way I possibly can, which is if he can go to school for some kind of vocational trade. He didn't want to do it, but now he's agreed to do like a data analyst or a cybersecurity trade, and that's going to be less than a year. He has agreed. He's in the East Coast, and I'm in the Houston area. So I was wondering if it would be a good idea to have him come over to the Houston area and probably get him his own place where he can be independent. But I know at that age he needs a man in his life, and I'm a female, so I may not be such a positive influence. So I just wanted to find out if you have any advice or any suggestion about that plan.
Okay. So he is considering taking IT, basically.
Yes, please.
Okay. Does he have any kids?
Hello?
Does he have any children?
No, he doesn't.
Okay. And he's 26 years old. At this point right here,
yes.
Like I say, my real thing is, what does he do for a living now?
With him, he works in a store.
Okay. I'm not really sure why it is that he doesn't already qualify for financial assistance in that case. That would be the first thing I'd be interested in knowing. In his case,
he does qualify.
Okay, if he qualifies for it, I would be much rather inclined to have him do that as opposed to you doing that. Because I would consider that to be a last resort. I certainly am not going to place pay for a place for him to be. Here's the real thing.
Uh-huh.
Adversity builds men, especially if it sounds like things have been pretty soft on him up to this point. I mean, that grade point average, that's just plain old not applying yourself. And I don't
exactly.
like the idea of you paying for a class for somebody who is not taking initiative. So in the words of Richard Pryor, I've found that missed meal cramps are a great motivator for certain folks out there. And, no, he needs to find out that folks are not going to come to his rescue, that they really will let him hit rock bottom, and that he's going to have to pick himself up, and it will be his responsibility to not be scraping the floor, and that you all are not going to sit up here and treat him like a child, and if he doesn't apply himself, he's going to be having straight A's. He can't sit up here and have a straight F and then complaining about what he's not getting. He's not even applying himself in school. So if he's not applying himself, why would you start finding him?
And that's another thing I was thinking, just let life teach him instead of extending a hand. But he claims he's very motivated now to go ahead and do better for himself. But
okay,
I would want to see something before I help.
He's motivated to do better for himself, and you guide him through getting financial assistance for what he needs. That's the part you help him with there. Okay, but in your case, I would not recommend nor endorse you paying for something at this point right here. He is old enough now.
Okay.
He's able-bodied. He needs to understand there are consequences for his actions, and the sooner he understands that, the better. And then after he's demonstrated that he can complete some things on his own, see, what you do is you add to him. He hasn't demonstrated he's got it yet. So I would go out there demonstrating he's got it, and then you add to it. So far, he hasn't done step one. So he needs to demonstrate some hustle first before I approve you going off subsidizing on potential. Right now, he hasn't even seen anything. So do that first, and then I would come back and talk to him later.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. No, as I said from the beginning here, hustle recognizes hustle. So you got to show us what you got. Let me get Call of America 434. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, Jason Black. My name is Jay Higgs, and I'm calling from Rocky Mountain, North Carolina.
Jay Higgs from Rocky Mountain. What's on your mind?
Man, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you for everything and the information I've learned from you. And I just wanted to understand is why is it that a lot of older cats, be like I'm 24, they'll be like trying to be talking down on everybody, but yet at the same time don't even want to even try to lend and help a hand, and they'd be like, see, you're a failure, you talk, or you this, you that. And, you know, they ain't show no form of guidance, or if they do, it's like very shitty, you know? Excuse my language, by the way.
I've explained this before, but it is because as males, as men, we respect is not a optional thing. Respect is mandatory. You cannot define yourself as a man without respect. You see, a female lion, a lioness, may walk among the pride and folks might move or they might not. When the male walks through, they move. See, that's respect. When a man is a leader, there is respect. And let me be very, very clear. Respect has an element of fear. Now, I don't mean fear in the form of terror necessarily, although it can be, but respect has an element of fear. You see, when it comes to fire, we use fire, but we don't just treat fire any old kind of way. We respect it because we know this can go sideways. We use electricity, but we respect it. So we use it a certain way because we know if we don't respect it, this could go sideways. This supposed to be the same thing if you use a man. You see, you're a man. You're not a woman. You're not a child. You can do things that a woman and a child, you are capable of things that a woman and a child are not capable of. Therefore, you cannot be treated like either a woman or a child. You have abilities they don't. And because of those abilities, you have responsibilities that they don't. So if you got abilities and responsibilities, then there comes a level of respect that's supposed to come along with all of that. And when that last element is missing, understand, that's the only thing that gives you value as a man. That's really the only thing that other folks can give you. There's nothing they can do for you you can't do for yourself. So the only thing that other people have to contribute to you to validate you is respect. If they deny you that, they're denying your manhood. That's the shame. That is the real crime of white supremacy and slavery. That's an overt, utter denial of respect. They're denying your human rights and in the process denying you respect. When we talk about a woman and how a woman's supposed to treat you, at the end of the day, everything we're talking about is about a woman respecting your place as a man. We talk about the kids and whatnot. It's about respecting your place as a man. So these old, I went through all that to say these old cats want respect, but they want respect they haven't earned. There's the real problem. They haven't accomplished anything in the society. They've won no battles against white supremacy. They haven't accomplished anything of any note or consequence. They haven't developed anything. They don't have anything they can teach you, and they know it when they meet you. So every time they see you, they realize I'm empty-handed. So he needs something with which to earn your respect, yet he hasn't cultivated and he doesn't have it. So all he really ends up doing is whining and moaning and trying to wag his finger in your face. But at the end of all that whining and moaning, he doesn't have anything concrete or tangible to offer, and he knows it.
Yeah, you're right, man. And I really appreciate that because at one point it got to the point, like, violence ain't off the table. And it was, like, so bad. I was like, I would rather not hurt you. Like, you're in your 50s. I would rather not go there. But I had to sit down and talk to that individual. I appreciate the man. Appreciate the advice and the information.
Well, you know, dude, when that kind of thing happens, I want you to just understand, when that kind of thing happens, your response is going to be very, very simple. Nigga, what have you built? It's really that simple. Nigga, what have you built? What are you offering? What do you got other than your mouth? What do you got? Because I'm looking at you. I'm looking to see. I'm looking to see. What have you done of any consequence? Let me tell you right here. Like, for example, with the last film that I did, Race War, the folk who were there in New York, there was a reason why we recorded that. Vice TV showed up in New York. You know why? Because they had been calling the theater for weeks asking who paid for this. How in the world did they get here? Who paid for this? Who did this? Vice TV did that. For those of you who got the Race War 3-disc version, you saw it. It was there recorded. Understand something. I've gone toe-to-toe with them. I can show you where I've beaten them on their own turf. I can show you where I've outmaneuvered them. I can show you what I've built. I can show you what I've accomplished. And when a dude wants to wag his finger and he can't do the same damn thing, that dude wants to shut him down quick. Nigga, what have you built? Well, what are you offering? Show me your win. There are no wins. Oh, you ain't got no wins. Okay, don't think you're going to sit here and impress me and you ain't got no wins. It doesn't work that way. So these old cats are lacking anything they can genuinely have respect with. And they're just hoping, to outrun their miles they can keep doing that. But if you really want to shut it down, just say, nigga, what have you built? Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. He's going to tell you about his 1973 Cadillac or something like that, but there won't be anything tangible. Won't be anything tangible at all. Let me get a call from area code 510. You're on Live with the Business. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Hey, good evening, Jason. This is Black Voltron calling out of West Oakland, California.
Black Voltron out of West Oakland. What's on your mind?
I just want to thank you. Just like the caller, just thank you for the business broadcast and the words of wisdom. I, too, have been appreciated what you've taught us. And, you know, I've actually seen in my life, you know, just the value of having that confidence in my life, because, you know, there's been many times that, you know, call me narcissistic and a-hole and a dick, you know, and just, you know, arrogant. And, you know, I didn't really understand it when I was younger, just having that confidence of knowing from balls to bone that, you know, I can accomplish, I can meet my goals, protect and provide, and be able to do it on a socioeconomic level and compete with the rest of these other races. And the thing that got me was, you know, the one time I called, my mom called me narcissistic and arrogant. And I didn't really get it at first until I realized, you know, I sounded like my father. And that really rubbed it the wrong way. They got divorced when I was, you know, 9 and stuff like that. So, you know, I guess, you know, unconsciously, I didn't realize that up until that point that having that confidence really, you know, will rub some women the wrong way. But you have to have it as a man in order to survive out here, you know, in this competition with all these races. You must have confidence. To all young men out there, you get confidence by knowing you got to prove to yourself, number one, that you can compete. That means getting your socioeconomics together, understanding your trade, your field of study, and being the best at it, and competing against these white boys, competing with these Asians, these Latinos, these East Indians, and then doing it on a high level and winning. When you start stacking up the wins, just like you said, you know from a without a shadow of a doubt that, hey, I can hang, and then like you said, the women are going to fall in line. You don't really have to look for them. Everybody will see you by your accomplishments. So that's why I don't get that, you know, the beta male bitch energy of, you know, always whining and complaining and begging and, you know, doing all this other stuff. It's just, it, you know, to me, it didn't make any logical sense to do all that when you could just spend all that energy just accomplishing things.
That's the real version of channeling female energy. Being a beta is the male version of using female power. And it would work great if you had female facilities, but you don't. So if you're trying to use female tactics to gain power as a male, and there's where, that's why for people like you and me, it's just like, okay, this is very unappealing. Because it's like, dude, this doesn't even suit you. This doesn't even work. And it doesn't work. So you're trying to get male benefits with a female structure. No way it can work there. No way it works. Now, the other thing we're just talking about being called arrogant, narcissistic, I'm like, okay, you can call me whatever you want to. As long as I am productive, it better, y'all also better call me sir. Other than that, you can call me whatever in the world you want.
And not just that. I mean, here's the thing. You know, females call you that until you start pulling bread out your pocket and say, well, here's something for you. And then all that narcissistic, arrogant, asshole-ish behavior magically just disappears, and everything is all good. You know, hey, everything's cool, and, you know, hey,
you know, we can get along, and sorry, son, you know, I said that. I was a little upset, being emotional, you know. It's amazing what having tangible benefits will do to, you know, to get people to cooperate with you. It's just interesting as far as, like, females.
Have you ever had a female call you narcissistic at the cash register?
Never.
I've never been called arrogant nor narcissistic when we walked up to the cash register. Now, I've never heard that word there. It didn't matter how I was acting. I'm still the same guy. I'm still acting the same way. But by the way, I, for some odd reason, brother, I've never in my life heard that word when we walked up to the cash register. I don't know why.
And the toxic masculinity words disappear from their lips too. You know, all that bullshit, that feminist bullshit they're talking goes bye-bye when they're about to get some serious tangible benefits. So, you know, it's for the young men, man. Just, you know, like you always tell them, keep turning and earning, know your craft, know your trade, and be the best at it. You know, just like our grandparents and great-grandparents used to tell us, we got to be 10 times better than a white man just to have a fair shake. We should be 10 times better anyway because we got 10 times to 50 times the amount of work to do to catch up to these white folks. So, you know, handle your business, like you always say, keep it moving, and you don't have to worry about the cooperation coming. You're not only going to have cooperation from all the females, you can have cooperation from the men too, because you'll have that respect. You know, real recognizes real, game recognizes game, and people will see you by your accomplishments and the work that you do and how much you're producing. You won't have to worry about any of that. That's where you're confident. Most importantly, you'll come from yourself because you'll know you can do the work. You are the best at it. And that in itself shines. Don't worry about what people say. People are going to talk about you anyway. They're going to talk shit, talk behind your back, backbite, hate. Fuck them. You know? Who gives a fuck? What you ain't going to do is disrespect me. And you just keep doing your thing, you know? Keep doing your thing. I appreciate you, Jason. Thank you very much. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to call in on this night that I'm exhausted from my coast-to-coast trip. So be one to the fullest and keep doing what you're doing.
You've been back and forth from California to Florida to California. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight, brother. I'm going to take a couple of more phone calls here before we wrap things up tonight. We've been on over 2 hours and whatnot. I know y'all been missing me and everything. We appreciate that. Putting some other things together, the skilled trades workshop is coming, so just be looking for that as well. We're doing some real good business tonight. Let me get a call up from area code 973. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. This is Mark from Patterson.
Mark from Patterson. Was that New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay. As opposed to Patterson, Wisconsin, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to call in and say you are absolutely right about everything that you're saying, especially the part about being a beta is a choice. You're definitely choosing to be a beta. To give an example of that, I was mostly raised by my mother, and there'd be a lot of times where she would tell me to behave in a certain way, or she'd tell me to see things a certain way. And as young as I was throughout the years, I would always feel like, oh, that just isn't right. And I don't know if that comes from, you know, having a chance to see my granddad and my dad while I was younger, just watching them and the way they moved, the way they handled things, the way they spoke to people, I feel like really gave me, like instilled that confidence or knowing how a man is supposed to be and act. And I feel like even though my mother raised me for most of my years, me having that experience while I was young helped me get through that and kind of avoid.
It really is biological. Most of y'all are going to end up on the correct side of things anyway because it doesn't matter about the society and whatnot. The single mother home is not going to be able to override 160 million years of evolution. It's just not going to be able to do that. So believe it or not, most of you are going to end up on the correct side anyway. The real thing is the focus part of it because now you're masculine and you are energy, but you're unfocused. The real thing is, and hopefully, you know, people like me, hopefully if you get in touch or meet, get in touch with someone like me or other folks here listening, I don't just want to put it on me and whatnot, but, and hopefully can help encourage you to put focus behind that energy. Because, like I said, you know, as a man, you're a dragon, but that really just means your energy. So if we can actually get you focused, that's where it starts becoming productive. That's where it starts becoming powerful. That's where it starts becoming valuable, is if I can get you focused. But believe it or not,
absolutely,
for most of you, even if you, even without, you know, another real male role model in that regard, most of you, when you meet the real world, the world's going to be uncompromising. So anything your daddy didn't do for you, the world is going to make it very clear to you that it doesn't have any leeway. It doesn't have any
leeway.
It don't cut you no slack. You are expected to do it whether you were taught or whether you weren't. And at that point, you're either going to fly or fold. So believe it or not, you end up there regardless. Anyway, I just hope if we get to you early enough, you can hopefully it can help lower the likelihood of you folding. Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. I'm going to take one more phone call here before we wrap things up. Let me get caller area code 678. You're on Live with the Business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi there. I'm Castle, and I'm calling from Marietta, Georgia.
Castle from Marietta, Georgia. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I just wanted to ask you, how would you listen with everything that you're saying? It really did resonate with me because I was raised by a single mom. I don't know if you remember or not, but a while ago I called back saying I was the autistic guy and
yes.
Just explaining how I was raised by my mother. Pops was never around. Grandfather died when I was younger. And my mom, she has brothers as well, but they were never really around. They had their own family. So really, I was really just by myself growing up. And listening to everything you were saying, and basically my question is, how would you tell a man, how would you deal with, like, anger and rage and feeling like, you know, you – things didn't work out for you until later on in life, because really things didn't pick up for you until I was 27, and I'm 32 now, as far as like making more money and being socioeconomically better and stuff like that. So how would you recommend someone dealing with anger? Because till this day, I still feel like, you know, like I didn't have the best upbringing, and I just feel like anger, like life was unfair for me, and now I have to do everything like by myself and stuff.
Let me explain how you deal with that. First of all, you separate yourself from the source. That's the first thing. Because that would be like me telling you, I want you to stop being muddy and filthy while you're standing. So the first thing is the source of that frustration, source of that anger, the source of that resentment. Dude, you got to cut it off. I don't give a damn if they gave birth to you or not. It's not healthy. It's not helping you. It is only hindering you. So first and foremost, being exposed to that, you're living it all over again. You are being victimized all over again. Your resentment is there and whatnot. So the first thing, stop allowing that antagonistic energy to have access to you. It's not. Because there is some adversity and antagonistic energy that makes you better and builds you. But then there's other that's like acid. And this is like acid. It doesn't serve a productive purpose. It's not making you better. It's distracting you. It doesn't have anything positive. Anything positive it had to offer, it's already given that. Now it is just becoming abrasive. That's not helping you. So first order of business, brother. Get you a social circle that does not include these sources of antagonism. Cut them off. And I do mean cut them off. If that's what's happening there, that's what's going on, cut that off. If you haven't looked into counseling for that, the real thing is if you've been given a diagnosis of autism, that's a really important thing to know because there's a stigma that comes along with that. And your folks are probably not qualified to deal with that. You have a school system and society that looks to utilize that against you, particularly where black boys are concerned. They look to anything they can get their hands on to reinforce any insecurities, any deficiencies, any inferiority complexes. They are going to try to magnify it as much as they possibly can. So it is important for you to take the reins in that regard and say, you know, you do want to have people who can help you to deal with that. And your family is not the place to go. And do not be so arrogant as to believe that this is something that you can handle yourself. You were put into this by trained mental health professionals. Let's be very clear about that. You were put into this by people who went to school for years and years to learn how to put those things in you. You want to deal with somebody who's got training on how to unscrew that. And then last but not least, you are going to have to focus on being great, because the energy, the residual energy that is left over, that negative energy can fuel you, but it can't fuel you to be nothing either, because it's like fire. It's either going to heat you up and you're going to melt down, or you can direct it in an area and harness the energy of that heat. So what this also tells me is you're not specializing in anything. Not yet. Not yet, you're not. When you do, all of that energy, the frustration, the resentment, the animosity, you know, the years of being denied, when you have something that you excel at, that's where all of that energy focuses. That's where it's supposed to focus. Proving people wrong about you. You can't prove them wrong unless you accomplish something. You can't sit in your bedroom staring up at the ceiling and prove people wrong about you. That's not where you do it. You prove them wrong in the real world. You prove them wrong outside the front door. You prove them wrong at the IT desk. You prove them wrong when you're driving across your fifth state and you're, you know, working for your sixth day in a row here and you're making $1,000 a day. That's where you prove people wrong. But you don't prove them wrong with your feelings and sulking. You prove them wrong through what you do, not what you feel.
I understand. I tried to speak with my mother about that before. I told her about I try to bring it up, but sometimes she'll tell me I don't want to talk about discuss it, because sometimes I try to tell her that, yeah, you know, sometimes I feel like you've never really made like the smartest decisions in life. Like I don't know if you remember.
She knows.
What'd you say?
She knows. Oh. Of all people in the world, she knows. Understand something. It is the most damning thing in the world for you to have your offspring to tell you that you failed. Children are the final report card on you as a person. Your children are the last report card on you as a person. They are the final report card. And the most damning thing in the world you can be told is by your children that you failed. It's one thing to hear it from a teacher. It's one thing to hear it from your spouse. It's one thing to hear it from your parents. But when your child becomes grown and tells you they don't have anything to thank you for, you failed. Understand something. At that point right there, your life was, you were just informed that your life really amounted to nothing. When you are gone, there's nobody who thanks you for anything. There's no one who reveres you for anything. Understand, that's a damning event to have happen. And that's what you're doing. When you say that, that is what you're doing. You're giving her final report card. And she's like, no, I don't want to open the envelope. And you're like, yes, I'm opening the envelope. So just understand, no, she doesn't want to hear that. What you think what you're saying is you made bad decisions. That's what you think you're saying. Brother, what you are saying is your life amounted to nothing. I am your offspring, and as your offspring, that which is supposed to carry your legacy into the future, I am your legacy, and I am here to tell you, you failed.
Oh, imagine she's a... Oh, I'm sorry. So I was just saying she's apologized about it, because she's had like three marriages. One, she married, I don't know why she did this. One, she married a gang member. Second, she married a guy who had kids with a lot of women. Three, she married a guy who was known for finessing people out of business deals. Like for example, people like looking for him, saying that they owe him money and just like finessing it. She's told me
she certainly made a bunch of bad decisions. She certainly did. And if she was under any illusion that being a young thought out there, that it was never going to catch up to her, she'd be held accountable. She is. I mean, you are the living embodiment of holding her accountable. You are. She didn't get away with it. Her offspring, her legacy is telling her, yeah, just so you know, on your way to the grave, this is how you will be remembered. So every morning you get up, you got this fantasy in your head of these, you know, starlight and roses and whatnot. No, I'm here to stomp all over that. That's not what will happen. So as you get older and all you can think about is your legacy, when folks get older, it's not like they can be young and spry and go to the amusement park and whatnot. They get older, they get less physically active, and they recess and retreat into their thoughts and into their minds. And you are her living legacy, and you said that. So she can apologize, this, that, and the other. Believe it or not, I am far less concerned about her and far more concerned about you. Because at this point right now, brother, she's got more years behind her than she does in front of her. I'm more concerned about you. I am more concerned about what you are going to do with your time and how much of a benefit you're going to make out of it. I'm more concerned about what you are going to do with your years. She had her chance. She blew it. I'm more concerned that you don't. She cannot teach you from her experience. She will now teach you from her example. She is teaching you what not to do. Great. You need to incorporate those lessons of what not to do. But then, once you realize that, it is time to get moving. At some point, you are going to have to leave your mother's problems with her, her demons with her, and make it clear that, you know what, despite y'all's best efforts, I'm not carrying your demons with me. They are going to stay here with you. I'm not carrying any of them. And get on with your life and in doing something that she never did. While she was running around doing all that stupid stuff, it ended up being nothing. Your job is to not end up the same way. But you cannot do that if you are still grappling with those things. It doesn't matter if she apologizes or not. The damage is done. Now we need to have repair. But she cannot repair this. She can damage it, but she cannot repair it. Now there's only one person who can do that, and that's you. But you're going to have to take that responsibility on yourself.
Yes, sir. And I understand. And I'm still doing what you recommended to me. I'm still doing the computer coding thing. I'm getting better at that. I'm reading more books and stuff that, like you said, that I should. And even though I still feel like, you know, I'm a late bloomer in life, being 30, 32, and then things didn't pick up for me, get better until I was 27, I'm still doing everything that you're saying. I'm trying to manage my anger because I really do feel like, you know, I just didn't have the best of upbringing and just feeling inadequate and like a lack of guidance and stuff. But I'm trying my best, sir, even though I feel like, you know, really behind the ball.
I want you to understand something, though. Nobody really has sympathy. And let me just be very, very clear about that. Nobody has sympathy for your anger. Your anger is righteous. Your anger is justified. Your anger is valid. But let me also tell you that your anger in this society is useless. And the reason why it is because you live in a society that your anger is used as an excuse. It can also be used against you. You don't want to be carrying that. That's what I'm saying. If you haven't looked into counseling for that, you need to, because this is something that will only be used against you. It's not a benefit. A black man, and Roscoe Brown was right. I mean, if you're not angry as hell, you're out of your damn mind. But by the same token, that cannot be your defining characteristic. As a black man, especially as a black man, that can't be your defining characteristic. That's not a plus. That's not a positive. Your anger is supposed to be something that you harness and that occasionally is utilized. not supposed to be something that sits there waking up with you every day. If it is, then it's an obstacle. Because anger is not something that you can use every day unless you're in a war zone. And I'm talking about a physical zone. It's not. You need to be able to focus. If you are angry at something, and if you're working on IT and you're angry, that tells me you're distracted. You're preoccupied. You are not focusing all of your mental energy. A major part of it is being diverted off into still grappling with something that's happened years ago. And that is the other thing. I want you to be very, very clear about this. I'm going to say this just straight like it is, a straight no chaser. That is beta behavior. Because that comes back to what I was saying here before. A part of beta behavior, I understand they put that in you, but a part of beta behavior, feeling entitled. You don't have a day to wait, but you feel entitled to indulge your frustration. And what I'm saying is that you don't have that luxury. You don't have the luxury of indulging your frustration. Especially at your age. You're supposed to be, and understand, you're not going to be useful to people. You're not going to be useful to an employer. You damn sure won't be useful to a woman carrying this emotional baggage. You've got emotional baggage. I understand how it got there. But you are not entitled to carry it, because once you start giving yourself a license to be entitled to carry it, you're going to expect other people to, quote, understand it. Especially at your age now, you're going to meet a female, work with other folks, and you're going to expect them to understand why you're angry. Well, I mean, I got messed over, and my mama was no good, and daddy was, you know, I got put in special ed, blah, 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 blah. Dude, they're going to be like, okay, and? You're a grown man who will be expecting other people to have sympathy for you coming in the door. If you do things, if you snap at them or whatever, you're going to be expecting other grown people to have sympathy for your baggage and your issues. Brother, there's no such thing as cute baggage. There really ain't. And everybody has baggage. Your job is to make sure they little bitty sacks, not big old steamer trunks. And you carrying big old steamer trunks with you. You're carrying army lockers with you. That's a problem. Nobody's going to have sympathy. There's nothing cute about a 26-year-old, 30-year-old, 35-year-old black male temperament issues. People respect you when you are disciplined. There's nothing that they can respect about an undisciplined male. And if you're carrying anger issues and you lack the discipline with them, bruh, nobody's got sympathy for that. Nobody. Not black women, not other black men, certainly not white society. You don't have that luxury. I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. You don't have it. Now that you've been told, you understand, you're going to have to remove the baggage. That's priority. That doesn't mean that you become a punk. That doesn't mean that you just become a pushover. No, it doesn't. But what you're telling me is that anger is a defining characteristic of who you are, and it's a defining characteristic in your life. That is what needs to be removed. It is one thing to carry a gun with you. It's another thing to walk around everywhere you go with a gun in your hand pointed at you.
I understand. Yes, sir. I understand. And you're right. It was my anger, but with the computer coding IT, I use that anger as fuel, as thinking, okay, if I focus on this coding, if I understand syntax and all this other stuff, whatever, if I focus this anger, I can turn out better than those that came before me. I can turn out better than my mother. I can show my piece of shit father, who wasn't never there and abusive, that, you know, I'm a better man than you. The people that I came across in society proved them wrong, that I can, you know, actually do something. I'm actually worth a damn. I did use that anger and, you know, as fuel, you could say, as with coding and stuff and learning that. But
well, that's
hearing what you're saying.
That's good too, but the problem is you don't have clearly you don't have a social circle either for that, and I don't think that's best either. You don't really need to be talking to other people about that. You really want to talk to someone, preferably a black male, who is a trained counselor to be able to deal with this. Ideally, you would talk to your parents. I am instructing you don't do that. That is exactly what you don't need to be doing. They're the source of the problem. They're not qualified, nor are they capable of helping you. So if they were different people, I would advise you to do that. They are the people that they are. Wrong direction. Don't go over there. All they can do is exacerbate your problem. The more your mom apologizes, the angrier you get. So that's the real problem there. It's not going to help. You need somebody else. And I don't want you taking it to your social circle. I want you need to have somebody who you can actually speak to about this. That would be healthy, but you shouldn't use your family or your friends. You need to have, you were put into this situation. I'm going to harp on this. You were put in this situation by trained professionals. You need to have a trained professional to help you to unravel this. Didn't get into this by yourself. Got into this with the help of trained professionals. It takes a
professional
to undo the work of the screw job of a professional. This ain't something you can gut it out and grit your teeth. You got a whole apparatus to get together on you. You need to have a professional who can help you to unravel what that apparatus is.
Yeah, yes, sir. I understand.
Your way is not going to work. You're not going to just grit your teeth through this. That is not going to work. You will be here in 30 years carrying the same issues and talking about all the things that didn't get done. Brother, and think about that. If you don't, you may meet the right woman in the next 3 years. You're not going to be able to do nothing with her but run her off because you're not straight yet, and you haven't done what's necessary to get straight. And if you had better parents, maybe they could have helped, but you got the ones you got. All they can do is make it worse. You need to get off straight so that you can take advantage of all the good opportunities that life has to offer. Right now, you are primed and ready to screw off whatever chances you are given. That's financial, intellectual, emotional. So, brother, you see the holes in your game. Get together a team to help you with the holes in your game. If they were financial, I would tell you, have a CPA, have a banker, have a lawyer. We're dealing with some emotional and psychological issues, academic and educational issues. Get you a counselor who can help you with that. You need to have a team for this. You're trying to fly this solo. It's not going to work. You are not going to be able to unload this baggage on your own. And your family is of no help at all.
Well, I've tried to reach out to other people as well to get like some type of guidance or advice or and stuff, but
you need to have a paid, trained professional.
All right, then. Yes, sir.
It's not a job for the amateurs. Not a job for somebody you met on Facebook. Have a trained, credentialed professional. I say again, you're not listening. You were put in this situation by trained academic mental health professionals. If you got an autism diagnosis, that came from a professional. And then everything else that was done after that was the work of professionals. You are not going to be able to unscrew that by yourself. You're an amateur. It will not work. Friends and relations can't do it. It will not work. You need a professional to unscrew the work of a professional. They will see what was done. They will help you to get it unscrewed.
Jeez, this is tough to hear.
I know,
because it
destroys the idea that you're invincible. Oh, invincible. Oh, I don't need help. That's a sign of weakness. No, what is a sign of weakness is continuing to do stupid things that don't work. What is a sign of weakness is refusing to admit that something did happen to you. That's a sign of weakness. That would be like if you were sitting under a car. You were working on a car and the jack fell and the car landed on you. and you have the cell phone in your hand, but you're refusing to call 911. You're going to see if you can try to get the car off of yourself. Well, I don't want nobody to think I'm weak. I'm not going to call 911. Well, you're going to sit there till you die. Weakness is not calling for help. Weakness is the idiot sitting there pretending he can pick up a car off of himself. And he is too prideful and stubborn to admit that he cannot lift a car. No one's blaming you for what happened. That's not foolish. What will be foolish is if you continue trying to do this yourself. That will make you look foolish.
You don't
look weak by getting a professional to help you undo what those professionals did. That won't make you look weak. What will make you look weak is refusing to concede that you cannot do this yourself. That would sound like your mom. That's what she would do. If we just don't keep it 100, you know that. She would say, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with me at all. Meanwhile, your son and everybody, everybody else around you is telling you what the problem is.
And yeah, you're right.
If you just don't say it, then nobody will be able to convict you of it. Just ask yourself, is that really male wisdom talking, or is that your mom talking? Ain't nothing wrong. I ain't do nothing wrong. Ain't no problems here. What y'all trying to gaslight me? What you trying to do? Ain't nothing wrong over here. I can handle this myself. I ain't that weak. Ain't no problems over here, dude. And the problems are apparent. It's not like you're fooling anybody. I'm sure you already know this. By the way, everybody else can tell you got issues too. It's not like you're fooling anyone. It's not like everybody's looking at you and saying, oh, no, he's fine. Is that the case?
You're right. No, yeah, I've had a few girls. You were saying, sir?
You're trying to save face. And
no, I'm saying you're right. You're right.
Well, what I'm telling you is that the reason why you feel some kind of way about getting professional help with it is you feel there's a stigma on it. You're trying to save face. And I'm like, dude, everybody can already see the issue. You ain't fooling them. It's not camouflage. It's not concealed. Everybody sees this. It's not like you're doing a great job hiding it and, oh, Jason, now nobody knows anything wrong now. If I go do that, they're going to know something wrong. Dude, everybody can see what's wrong. They're waiting to see if you don't do something about it. It's not like they can't tell. Everybody sees it. Okay, that's out there. Now what are we going to do about it? If you really want to throw people a swerve, show them that you went off and did something about it. That's what they're not expecting. They are expecting you to do what they would do. Keep failing and keep spinning your wheels and never get things straightened out. Do something about it. Now that is what they do not expect. Remember Sun Tzu's Art of War. Never do what your enemy expects you to do. And
I should read that.
They are expecting you to continue to pretend that you are okay while everybody around you knows that you are not.
Yes, sir. Not I understand.
Being stubborn. There's no stigma to admitting you have a problem and getting help for it. The stigma is a Negro running around into his 30s and 40s, something that should have been resolved in his 20s. That would be a stigma.
Hate to say it, but you're probably right.
Imagine if I just did a program where I had an accountant on, the boss accountant. Imagine me still trying to do my own books. Imagine me still trying to fill out a 1040. I don't need no help. I don't need no damn CPA. I can do my own taxes. I've been doing it since I was 14 years old. 15 years old. In a while. I've been doing my own. I don't need nobody else to do it. Imagine that. That's what it sounds like. Imagine that. Everybody else has no problem with that. Black males are trying to convince the world that nothing's wrong and everybody sees the problem. Don't do that to yourself. They've already got... And understand, that's not you talking, that's them talking. because if you actually went to go get professional help, that would further cement and illustrate what your mom did wrong and what your dad did wrong. By you refusing, you're covering for them. In case you didn't notice, by you refusing to get professional help, you are saying there's nothing wrong with me. Well, if there's nothing wrong with you, then that means nothing happened to you. So either something did or it didn't. If something happened to you, think your mom and dad don't want to say that anything happened to you, or they want to minimize it. By you blowing the cover off of it and saying, oh, hell no, I've had to go to counseling, this and everything, you're blowing the lid off of it. Yes, something happened. It really is. No, I'm not going to pretend like I'm okay. I'm not going to pretend like after dealing with y'all, I'm okay. No, I'm not. What y'all did really did mess up the wheels on things. But by you saying, I'm all right, I don't need help, in effect, you are covering for them. Nope, nothing wrong. They didn't do anything. Then, nope, nothing bad happened over here. Because that would be like me coming to them and saying, your son is dealing with all kinds of issues. He really needs professional help. And then you jump up, no, I don't. It wasn't that bad. Yeah, that's right. See, you're trying to tell us, we know some things happened, but you're trying to make it way worse than it really was. See what I mean? By you refusing to do this, you are, nothing happened. I mean, it wasn't that bad. In effect, that's covering for it. Because they want the world to believe nothing happened. Is that really the way it went?
No, I didn't see it that way, but that makes sense because I remember there was a girl I was seeing at the time, and she told me that she didn't really want to see me anymore because there were times where she felt scared around me. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I've never done anything to you. I never touched you, never did anything to you. But she was saying how, oh, it's just your demeanor. And sometimes I try to ask you, like, what was your childhood like? And sometimes you, like, leave things out and don't want to tell me. And she basically said that she just wanted to see other people because she didn't feel safe around me. And I didn't get it at the time. It's like, I don't see how. I never touched her. I never abused her. Like, what the hell? But the way you explained it was my demeanor and having, like, a chip on my shoulder. So I hate to say it, TBA, but you're right.
Well, like I say, stop covering for it. Stop. It's not really a secret. It's, I can't even say it's an open secret. Do yourself a favor at this point. You know, stop trying to pretend it's okay, because all that really does is it covers for the parents. It protects their image. It protects their reputation. And just let the truth have its day, man. And don't feel bad about that. Don't feel bad about it. This is what you need. You're going to need help to move forward. You had a bunch of folks get together and conspire to take you backwards. You need to start putting together a team that's going to conspire to move you forward. But it starts with you admitting the obvious. You cannot do this yourself. You can't. What you can do for yourself is recruit a team that can help you. Now, that you can do. But if you refuse to do that, just remember, that's not you talking. That's her talking. That's your father talking. That's all of them not taking responsibility for what they did. And in effect, getting you to play along with them. All I'm saying is stop playing along.
Yes, sir. I understand. And thank you for your time. I don't want to hold up anymore, but just thank you for accepting my call. I don't really have any other black males or peers I could come to, especially someone older, because, you know, they're, a lot of them are on some bullshit also. They can't really give younger men, like, any advice or input. So thank you for accepting my call, because I don't really have anyone else to go to for help or assistance. So, but thank you. And
focus on you. Focus on getting a professional to help undo what the other professionals did. Take this as your time to focus on you. Don't worry about the females, nothing else. Just let it be between that. And this all needs to be personal development, your IT, your reading, counseling. All of this needs to be a rebuilding effort for you. This needs to be a rebuilding time for you. Hell, even Tony Soprano had a counselor. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight, brother. No, understand the tend that there's nothing wrong with you. You are in effect saying, yeah, what they did didn't affect me. That's real great. If you did something wrong with somebody, wouldn't it be great if you could do something wrong with somebody, screw up their life, mess them up and whatnot, and then get them to say, oh, what, nothing wrong. No, nothing happened here. Other folks saying, hey, they need help, and to get the victim to say, no, I don't. I don't need any help. No, I don't. No, I don't. I mean, something happened, but I don't need any help. No, I don't. That sure does work out for you great, doesn't it? Works out for you wonderfully. Once again, it's a choice. Once again, it comes back to having a choice. All of these things come down to a choice. I want to thank everyone who has contributed to support tonight's program, either on PayPal or Cash App. I want to thank you all for your support here. For my man GL, thank you very much for your generous support here tonight. I appreciate that. And in the super chat, B-Rain Wash, thank you very much for your support as well here. Heavy is the head. Heavy is the head as always. But then again, got strong shoulders for that. My man Daryl, thank you very much for your support as well. And Russell, and everyone who's contributed to support tonight's program, because lip service is not service. If you are new to the program, welcome to the business. Lay the foundation upon which all these other imitators, imposters, and posers have been ripping off and stealing everything they've been saying and messing up tonight. We hope we've gotten an opportunity to help get that unraveled for you here. If you haven't visited our patron, as the previous caller was talking about here earlier tonight, you want to go ahead and check it out. Exclusive content over there, things you won't see anywhere else, and stuff that can't be blocked here on YouTube. They do have us under a shadow ban, so consider making sure that you share this program. If you got a lot out of it, help other people get it as well. A lot of folks out there pretending to be able to help folks and being internet posers and just sitting up here giving gossip and whatnot, and folks aren't really getting anything they can use. This place is different. If you believe that and if you've seen that, do your part. Go ahead and share that. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of The Business. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, Mr. Jason Black. And until next time, my brothers and my sisters from around the world, remember, handle your business, or your business will handle you.